The government media office in Gaza says more than 400 aid seekers have been killed by Israel in the besieged territory in just 2 weeks. Lebanese resistance fighters fired dozens of rockets at Israeli targets in response to the regime's air raids on Lebanon's Baalbek. Russian and Chinese vessels enter Iran's waters as the three countries engage in joint naval drills in the Sea of Oman. This is World News from Tehran with me, your host, Behruz Najafi. Welcome. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says that resistance in Palestine will eventually bring Israel to its knees. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei made the comment during a meeting with distinguished Iranian Quran reciters and activists. He said the resistance is still standing strong after months of heavy fighting. Ayatollah Khamenei also called for an end to any assistance to Israel by a number of Muslim countries. He said those governments helping Israel are committing crimes and will be punished for treason. Palestinians in the Gaza Strip see no ease in their suffering as the Israeli bombardment and siege continue even during the holy months of Ramadan. The regime struck the central city of Deir al-Balah twice, killing 9 people and injuring some more. 11 lost their lives after Israeli troopers again opened fire on aid seekers in Gaza City. According to the Gaza Media Office, some 400 Palestinians have been killed while waiting in line for life-saving aid since late February. The death toll from Israel's genocidal war since October 7th stands at nearly 31,200, mainly women and children. We've spoken to our correspondent, Mutia Abu Musabbe, in the central Gaza city of Deir al-Balah. He says Israeli warplanes continue attacking residential buildings amid the worsening humanitarian crisis.
The Israeli occupation forces are actually committed more massacres over the last night, as here in Deir al-Balah city, the Israeli warplanes destroyed another residential building in the eastern part of Deir al-Balah city. The Israeli occupation forces destroyed another residential building in Al-Karara neighborhood located in the eastern part of Khan Yunis city. At least 11 Palestinian dead bodies were extracted from the rubble of that destroyed house. And when it comes to the other areas of Gaza Strip, The Israeli occupation forces also continued their air strikes against Khan Yunis city and against Rafah city. Another residential building was destroyed in Rafah city, particularly in Hay al-Jinena, which is located in the eastern part of Rafah city. And even in Khan Yunis city, more Palestinian residential buildings and more houses were blown up by the Israeli occupation forces, particularly in Hamas city and the surrounding area of Hamas city, which is located, as you know, in the western part of Khan Yunis city. However, in Gaza City, the Israeli occupation forces also committed another appalling massacre after targeting the Palestinian civilians who were gathering near Al-Kuwait roundabout waiting for the humanitarian aid. In addition to that, Jabalia refugee camp was subjected to heavy bombardments after the Israeli warplanes waged several airstrikes against the residential areas. And when it comes to the catastrophic humanitarian conditions, as you know, that these conditions are unfolding more and more with Ramadan, as the people here are trying and are grappling actually to have meals for iftar and for sahur, and they do not have any real access to those meals, as you know that Gaza City particularly and the northern part of Gaza Strip are still suffocated by the Israeli siege imposed on them, as the Israeli occupation forces are still preventing them from having any real access to those basic humanitarian needs.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, in a message on the occasion of the Muslim month of Ramadan, has called for an immediate ceasefire in the Gaza Strip to honor the spirit of the holy month.
Today marks the start of the holy month of Ramadan, a period when Muslims around the world celebrate and spread the values of peace, reconciliation, and solidarity. Yet, even though Ramadan has begun, the killing, bombing, and bloodshed continue in Gaza. My strongest appeal today is to honor the spirit of Ramadan by silencing the guns and removing all obstacles to ensure the delivery of life-saving aid at the speed and massive scale required.
A vessel carrying humanitarian aid for Palestinians has set sail from a port in Cyprus. It's on a route to the besieged Gaza Strip. The vessel is being sent by Spanish NGO Open Arms. It's carrying 200 tons of food. This is aimed at opening a new sea route of aid to Gaza, where the population is on the brink of famine due to the Israeli genocide and blockade. According to the World Food Program, the risk of famine is increasing in Gaza by the day. It says that Gaza is facing the worst food crisis in recent history. More than 500,000 people there are suffering from catastrophic hunger and starvation. At least 27 Palestinians have already died of malnutrition and dehydration there. Qatar, which mediates between Israel and Hamas, says the two sides aren't close to a ceasefire deal in Gaza.
Well, the situation is very complicated on the ground. We are not near a deal, meaning that we are not seeing both sides converging on a language that can resolve the the current disagreements over the implementation of the deal. But we remain hopeful, and we continue pushing for a deal to happen in the near future.
Now, the Qatari official said that a potential deal requires an end to Israel's bloodshed in Gaza and a continuous flow of humanitarian aid into the devastated territory. The announcement was made as months of talks involving the U.S., Qatar, and Egypt have failed to bring the Israeli genocide to an end. Hamas has blamed Israel for the failure to reach an agreement, saying that the regime is not serious about a deal and is merely buying time. The resistance movement has also said it's shown great responsibility and flexibility in the negotiation, but will not settle for anything less than a full cessation of the Israeli aggression and the pullout of occupation forces from Gaza. No respite from the Israeli violence against Palestinians, be it in Gaza or elsewhere. Regime troopers have taken the lives of three more Palestinians in the West Bank. Among the dead is a young man who succumbed to the wounds he sustained in a raid near the city of Jenin. There were two other deadly raids north of the city of Tul Kerem. In one of them, the Israeli regime forces shot a 25-year-old Palestinian. The other raid took place near the town of Atil, where undercover Israeli troops killed another man. Since October 7th, the occupied territories have been witnessing intensified raids by Israeli forces. Hundreds of Palestinians have been killed and thousands abducted in the West Bank in more than 5 months. Mona Kendall joined us from Ramallah earlier with details on the latest Israeli deadly raids in the West Bank.
Israeli forces disguised as Palestinians or as Arabs raided the towns or an area between the towns of Allar and Zeta, northern Tul Kerem, and they succeeded, this Dovdivan unit succeeded to murder a Palestinian, Muhammad Mustafa Jabir, 32 years old, originally from the village of Arabi in Jenin. The Israeli military claimed that this man, Muhammad Jabir, was on his way to carry out an anti-Israeli operation inside the lands that were occupied 1948. So Jabir was inside one of the shops there when the Dovdivan unit, the undercover units, arrived at the area. And they claimed that he had a gun and that he had opened fire at them before he was shot and killed. And of course, his body was confiscated by the Israeli forces. Several hours later, another Palestinian succumbed to his injuries. Several hours later, the Palestinian Ministry of Health revealed that Tawfiq Hussein, also from the town, from Jenin, was shot, wounded, and then succumbed to his injuries.
Deputy Political Bureau Chief of the Palestinian Resistance Movement has held talks with the Secretary General of Lebanon's Hezbollah amid the Israeli onslaught in Gaza. Khalil Al-Hayya and Said Hassan Nasrallah discuss a wide range of issues, including the recent developments in Gaza and the occupied West Bank, and also the ceasefire negotiations. Both resistance groups have fought Israeli forces on different fronts since the beginning of the genocidal war in October. Hezbollah has exchanged fire with the Israeli military in support of Palestinians. The resistance group has vowed it will stop attacks only if the regime stops the deadly aggression against Palestinians. IOF forces have carried out a series of new airstrikes on Lebanon, triggering retaliatory rocket attacks from Hezbollah against the occupied lands. According to Lebanese officials, Israeli strikes hit the eastern city of Baalbek and its vicinity. Some of the raids targeted an area near the city of Taraya, 20 kilometers west of Baalbek. This is the first time that Israel has pounded eastern Lebanon since the eruption of exchange of fire between the regime and Hezbollah. In response, the resistance movement fired more than 100 rockets at Israeli positions in the occupied Golan Heights and northern occupied territories. The resistance movement says it will continue attacking Israeli targets until the regime stops the genocide in Gaza. The Israeli military has recently performed aerial operations even on residential areas in Lebanon. Earlier, we were joined by our correspondent Lebanon, Mariam Saleh, for details about the latest exchange of fire between Hezbollah and Israel.
They do target Baalbek and eastern Lebanon in the vicinity of the cities of Taraya and Baalbek itself. We know that there was total destruction of the buildings that were targeted, and one person has been killed. Previous time, also, it was more of an open area that was targeted the previous time, like agricultural lands. There was some sort of a residence there, but that also led to the killing of two Hezbollah members. And now with this in place, it seems that Hezbollah has basically become impatient with the Israelis' presumptuousness when it comes to how they are targeting Lebanon. The fact that they're trying to put a lot of pressure on the resistance and on Lebanon itself, with the fact that you do have some opposition from Hezbollah's political foes when it comes to Hezbollah's supportive front for the resistance inside Gaza and for the people of Gaza. And so it seemed that this is why Hezbollah had, in retaliation, launched some, we're talking about more than 50 rockets that were witnessed or that were reported in some areas. The Israelis are talking about more than 100 rockets on two different rounds. A group of rockets was against the Galilee region. Another salvo was against in the Golan Heights. And it seemed that many of them landed and struck their targets. And how that will play out also is another surprise. And the number of rockets that Hezbollah is showing day by day, seemingly increasing and targeting areas that are further off. Yesterday, for example, they targeted areas in the Golan Heights more and more. And so it seemed that for Hezbollah, they are basically unifying the land when it comes to how they target and what they target.
Yemeni armed forces say that they have struck yet another U.S. ship in the Red Sea, vowing to step up maritime operations in support of Palestinians.
The naval forces of the Yemeni armed forces carried out a targeting operation against the American ship Pinocchio in the Red Sea with a number of appropriate naval missiles. The Yemeni armed forces confirmed that their military operations will escalate during the month of Ramadan in support of the oppressed Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip.
The Yemeni strike has been confirmed by U.S. Central Command that claims that the missiles did not impact the vessel and caused no injuries or damage. According to CENTCOM, American forces performed 6 retaliatory operations, destroying an unmanned underwater vessel and 18 anti-ship missiles belonging to Yemen. Tensions have run high in and around the Red Sea over the Israeli genocide in Gaza. Yemen has, for a number of times, targeted Israeli-linked vessels in the crucial maritime lane for trade. In response to anti-Israel operations, the U.S. and the U.K. have repeatedly launched airstrikes against the Arab country since mid-January. The Yemeni armed forces stressed, despite the aggression, they would continue operations in solidarity with Gaza. Russian and Chinese vessels have entered Iran's waters as the three friendly countries are set to hold joint naval drills in the Sea of Oman. The maneuvers, dubbed Security Bond 2024, will kick off later today and will end on Friday. Naval representatives from Pakistan, Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, Oman, India, and South Africa will also participate in maneuvers. The drills are aimed at reinforcing regional security and expanding multilateral cooperation among the countries in attendance. Supporting regional peace and maritime security is also among the drills' targets. The News Review program, we've discussed an increase in pro-Palestine rallies and events across the world with the youth in the spotlight. Here's what our guests had to say.
I'd like to welcome my guest to this News Review, Arzu Mir Ali, co-founder of Islamic Human Rights Commission out of London, and Masoud Shajere, Islamic Human Rights Commission out of London. Thank you both for being with us. I'd like to start off with Arzu. I mean, your take, we're continually seeing these Western governments support the Israeli regime, but at the same time, we see these growing movements among the people, especially the young people, and this particular case, more and more action taking place on some university campuses.
Definitely, and I think it's, again, as always, every time we see this, a very, very positive sign, frankly, to stand up to what in Austria has become a really, really problematic state. So just to give context, it's 20 years or more that Austria has shifted from being almost a model for Muslim state relationships in Europe to a kind of disastrous situation, which is almost as bad as Germany, perhaps the same, perhaps worse, where expressions of political identity or political activism or any kind of political thought by Muslims is being cracked down on quite heavily. Now, in that context, sort of Islamophobia has been leveled against not just Muslims, but anybody supporting Palestine. So for people to go and do this, it's both brave and courageous, but it's also a fantastic sign that people are fed up now of the over-policing of civil society and the complicity by state institutions or institutions like universities in an ongoing genocide that we are witnessing minute by minute.
Well, Masoud, your thoughts. Are we at a transition point? Because for many years, we saw basically a lot of apathy in a lot of these Western societies. But with the situation that's been happening on this genocide for the last now almost 5.5 months, we've seen more and more people become aware, not only of the Israeli regime, about the Israeli regime, but also aware about their own governments and how they are complicit, not only in supporting the regime, but also in controlling their own citizens' rights and rights to speak out and right to protest. I mean, your thoughts on that?
You're absolutely correct. I mean, the fact is that there is a fantastic awakening among the general public in the West, be it Europeans or United States and elsewhere, where people are really seeing the truth and the bizarre sort of situation that this genocide is being unleashed day in, day out in our television sort of screens and everywhere else. We are seeing it, we are feeling it, and we are being mobilized and we are being awakened. And this is on one side. And the other side, these establishment and the governments and these regimes are really starting to show their true color. A few years ago, they were claiming that they are democratic. They were claiming that they are champions and flag bearers of freedom of speech and the human right, etc., etc. Now you see between 70 to 80% of people in the West are actually calling for immediate ceasefire, while the governments are supporting the genocide. They're breaking their own rules, they're breaking their own principles of freedom of speech or association or assembly.
Well, thank you both for being with me on this News Review. Arzu Mir Ali, co-founder of Islamic Human Rights Commission, and Masoud Shajere from the Islamic Human Rights Commission out of London. And thank you for being with us on another News Review.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable Discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
To understand the unsavory alliance that has held the United States and the Zionist regime together is to understand that they are cut from the same cloth. Both regimes share a ruthless, exploitative settler colonial ideology and psychology that has set them on parallel social, political, and economic paths. They have existed by exploitation and churning the cauldron of division and conflict among countries in the region. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. Palestine Chronicle wrote, in addition to encouraging Israel-Arab economic ties, Washington has been actively promoting the furtherance of cybersecurity linkages. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security, for example, at a cyber tech conference in Tel Aviv on February 3, 2023, announced an expansion of the Abraham Accords to include an agreement on cybersecurity. By giving official recognition to intelligence sharing and security agreements between the Zionist regime and the Arab states, the accords have made the spyware business easier and more lucrative. The Persian Gulf regimes, believing that linkages with the Zionist regime will shore up their security ties with the United States, have become eager customers of advanced surveillance technology, which they also see as useful in policing their populations. The child killer regime of Israel, one of the world's top spyware exporters, has been more than willing to sell its technology with little regard for human rights abuse. The United States, the Zionist regime, and Arab states have become deeply enmeshed in the cybersecurity intelligence world. The Zionist regime has positioned itself in the international order through its global cybersecurity surveillance web and the lucrative global tech weapons industry that have developed around it. Washington's steadfast support for and unwillingness to criticize the Zionist regime can plausibly be attributed to the cyber power and economic clout that together they have been able to wield in the region and globally. The ongoing collaboration between the U.S. National Security Agency and its Israeli equivalent, the Secretive Cyber Unit 8200, the Tech Intelligence Unit of the Zionist regime's occupation forces, is just one example of the cybersecurity network that has linked the two regimes. Former troops of the elite Cyber Warfare Unit, for example, have gone on to found and occupy top positions at cybersecurity and international IT companies and in Silicon Valley. Google, for one, has two offices and over 2,000 employees in Israel. Washington cares little that the Zionist regime's cybersecurity companies, numbering 700, export their spyware around the world, or that unit hunts its intelligence skills through mass surveillance of innocent civilians in the occupied West Bank and Gaza, personal information that was used to blackmail Palestinians to turn them into the Zionist collaborators. Zionist hubris, facilitated by the U.S. regime, has no bounds, After stealing Palestinian land, water, and pillaging Gaza, the Zionist regime has been seeking to plunder the maritime offshore natural gas reserves that are the property of Palestine. On October 29, 2023, amidst its brutal war in Gaza, the Zionist regime's Ministry of Energy and Infrastructure announced that it had awarded licenses for natural gas exploration in areas that overlap with the recognized maritime borders of Gaza. As an occupying power, the Zionist regime has no legal right under international law to award licenses in areas it does not hold sovereignty over. The bidding process for the illegal licenses was launched in December 2022, a year before the Zionist regime's horrific assault on Gaza. Licenses were issued to six companies: Ratio Energies and NewMed Energy Israeli, ENI Italian, Dana Petroleum UK subsidiary of Korea National Oil Company, SOCAR Azerbaijan's National Oil Company, and British-owned BP. The U.S. Zionist economic and military stranglehold over the region has been challenged by the colonized Palestinians in Gaza, who have bravely resisted despite having no sizable army, air force, or sophisticated surveillance technology or weaponry. Gaza has become an inspirational symbol of resistance in the West Asia region and worldwide, a reality the U.S. and the Zionist regime will be powerless to overcome. To understand the unsavory alliance that has held the United States and the Zionist regime together is to understand that they are cut from the same cloth. Both regimes share a ruthless, exploitative settler colonial ideology and psychology that has set them on parallel social, political, and economic paths. They have existed by exploitation and churning the cauldron of division and conflict among the countries in the region. After half century of steadfast support, it has become virtually impossible for Washington to imagine a regional reality that does not have the fabricated regime of Israel at its core. The United States regime has finally been forced to confront the brutishness of its ally and to recognize that Zionists and they have no place or future in the West Asia region.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali.
There is a famous hadith that you are all familiar with, more or less, from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is one of the best things available about the month of Ramadan. And Rasulullah said this as preparation, because he said this in a sermon on Jum'ah in the month of Sha'ban. Shaykh Saduq Rizwanullah Ta'ala Alayh, in his Al-Amali, page 149, he quotes this hadith, and many ulama have quoted this hadith, but this might be one of the earliest sources. As you know, al-amali is plural form for imla, means dictation. So some of our ulama have amali, and that is collection of the hadith, that session by session, majlis by majlis, they dictated to their students. And students were writing these hadith. So the importance of amali is that a great muhaddith like Shaykh al-Saduq, like Shaykh al-Tusi, like Shaykh al-Mufid, they prepared themselves for dictating hadith to their students so that these hadith remain. It's not that in the middle of a lecture, for example, they mentioned the hadith. This majlis is 20th majlis. So if you start from beginning of Al-Amali, Majlis 1, Majlis 2, Majlis 3, Al-Majlis Al-Ishroon, the 20th Majlis. Majlisun Yawm Al-Thulatha, this Majlis was on a Tuesday. How much one wishes to be present in that Majlis that Shaykh al-Saduq was, you know, dictating these hadiths, Rizwanullah ta'ala. لِأَرْبَعِ لَيَالٍ بَقِينَ مِنْ شَهْرِ وَبَقِينَ مِنْ شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ. So this majlis was 4 nights before month of Ramadan finishes. So the last 4 nights, or the 4th night before end of month of Ramadan. Sanata sab'in wa sittina wa thalathmiya. Year 367 after Hijr. حدثنا الشيخ أبو جعفر محمد بن علي بن الحسين بن موسى بن باب ويه القمي. شيخ الصدوق was Muhammad and his father was Ali ibn باب ويه, was the name of their ancestor, and he quotes from his father Ali ibn باب ويه. Okay, in this majlis we go to page 154. A few pages later, we have this hadith which starts at the end of page 153. حدثنا محمد بن إبراهيم رحمه الله till reaches and Abi al-Hasan Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha from Imam Ridha alayhi salam, and Abihi Musa ibn Ja'far, and Abihi al-Sadiq Ja'far ibn Muhammad, and Abihi al-Baqir Muhammad ibn Ali, and Abihi Zayn al-Abidin Ali ibn al-Husayn alayhi salam, and Abihi Sayyid al-Shuhada al-Husayn ibn Ali, and أبيه سيد الوصيين أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب عليهم السلام. So the one who was witness and reported this is أمير المؤمنين, and it has been narrated by Imams one after the other up to Imam Ridha عليه السلام. قال إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله خطبنا ذات يوم. One day, Rasulullah gave us a khutbah. This is in the month of Sha'ban. فَقَالَ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّهُ قَدْ أَقْبَلَ إِلَيْكُمْ شَهْرُ اللَّهِ بِالْبَرَكَةِ وَالرَّحْمَةِ وَالْمَغْفِرَةِ. Month of Ramadan had not yet arrived, but Rasulullah was preparing Muslims for the arrival of the month of Ramadan. He said, O people, ayyuhan nas, truly the month of Allah has come towards you. Sometimes a person is coming to you and from distance you can see he has not yet arrived, but you can see from distance that that passenger or traveler, visitor is coming. So Rasulullah says, month of Ramadan has come towards you, but not with empty hands, not without gifts and blessings. This great visitor, which every year comes and visits us, of course every month of Ramadan is separate. Every month of Ramadan is unique. In general, every year we are visited by the month of Ramadan. Like for example, if suppose every year an angel visits us, so we can say we are visited by angels every month of Ramadan, but though those angels can be different. Bil barakati wa rahmati wal maghfira. If this is month of Allah, must bring baraka, abundant growing goodness. Shahrun huwa indallah afdalu shuhur. This is the month that in the sight of Allah is the best month. When Allah says something is the best, then it's really the best. Because we, for selfish reasons or, you know, short-sightedness, they say this month was the best month. Why? Because, for example, you know, I enjoyed myself more, I made more money, I don't know. Every day I was invited, for example, for a delicious meal. I don't know, different things we can say. But when Allah says this is the best month, and it's not only for one person, it's for whole humanity, and it's not for only one generation of humanity, for all generations. وَأَيَّامُهُ أَفْضَلُ الْأَيَّامِ. This month of Ramadan is a month that is like a car which is the best, and every part is the best. This is rare, that to have something which is the best and every small part of it is the best. If you divide it into days and nights, the days of months of Ramadan are the best. Ayyamuhu afdalul ayyam. If you are talking about nights, layalihi afdalul layali, the nights are the best nights. If you are talking about portions of day and night, not the whole day, not the whole night, even portions, sa'atuhu afdalus sa'at, its hours are the best. Of course, sa'a doesn't necessarily mean 60 minutes. Sa'a means portion of time.
Dear listeners of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, you can follow this program entitled Minbar every day in the month of Ramadan. If you have any suggestion, you can send us your email at englishradio@irib.ir.
Love is everywhere, so much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran, I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan, 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 ya Habib. Ramadan, Ramadan, laytaka dawman qareeb, laytaka dawman qareeb.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
In the Limelight.
More than 200 legislators from European countries which fund Israel militarily recently called for their countries to stop selling weapons to Tel Aviv, citing violations of international law in Israel's relentless bombardment of Gaza. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The website New Arab has covered this story and tells us more. The European Union has been marred by deepening divisions over Israel's genocidal war against Palestinians of Gaza, which shows the world's most powerful bloc is fast decaying. The 5 months of no-holds-barred Israeli assault on the besieged territory has not only exposed the international community, but it has also laid bare deep fault lines in the European Union. The heads of the 27 European countries have limited themselves to issuing passive statements about sending humanitarian aid to Gaza, whilst refusing to make an unambiguous call for a complete ceasefire in Gaza or building pressure on the Israeli regime to end its military assault on Gaza. In its recent statement, the Council of Europe, after condemning the operations of Palestinian resistance movements and emphasizing Tel Aviv's so-called right to defend itself, called for unhindered access to humanitarian aid for the people of Gaza, including through humanitarian corridors. However, according to a report in Politico, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen angered the European Union's foreign policy team in an unusual move. Some 800 European Union staff also wrote a letter protesting that von der Leyen showed unjustified bias towards Tel Aviv. Ursula von der Leyen has been unequivocal and unapologetic about her support for the Israeli regime and the ongoing genocide of Palestinians in Gaza, which hasn't gone down well with some EU officials. She was one of the first Western leaders to visit the occupied Palestinian territories in October to give her stamp of approval to Netanyahu's war on Gaza. More recently, in von der Leyen's speech at the Hudson Institute in Washington, she again harped about the Zionist regime's right to defend itself, whilst completely ignoring the humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza. Commenting on the European Commission President's speech, a senior European Union official said, she expressed her personal views and presented an unbalanced view of EU's position on the situation in Gaza. According to some officials, Ursula von der Leyen's relationship with EU Foreign Policy Chief Josep Borrell has become strained, and the crisis has heightened as the two of them have slightly different stances on Gaza. Last month, in an interview with the Spanish daily El País, Josep Borrell slammed the EU chief over her visit to the occupied Palestinian territories in October of last year, pointing to a deepening rift within the European bloc. Josep Borrell said, the trip by von der Leyen, with such an absolutely pro-Israeli stance, without representing anyone but herself in a matter of international politics, has had a high geopolitical cost for Europe. We'll be right back. The Spanish newspaper El País in a separate report said Israel has been irked by the EU foreign policy chief Josep Borrell because Borrell has situated himself on the Palestinian side. On the other hand, Michael Oren, a former Israeli envoy to the United States, said the EU foreign policy chief should not be allowed to set foot on the occupied Palestinian territories. These differences and divisions have even spread to other leaders of the alliance because the history of the European Union has shown that in times of crisis and when the bloc faces serious challenges, it cannot make comprehensive decisions and is not able to speak in one voice. The former Belgian Foreign Minister Mark Iskens, on the eve of the US-led international coalition's military attack on Iraq in 1990, said Europe is an economic giant, but a political dwarf and a military worm. A clear demonstration of that has been the war between Russia and Ukraine, in which no initiative has been seen on the part of the Europeans to end the war. Europe has surrendered itself to the United States. Although the bloc has a unanimous voice on Ukraine, it has become a divided house on Gaza Strip. The Israeli genocide case at the International Court of Justice at The Hague, Netherlands, brought by South Africa, also drew attention to these deepening differences in the European Union. Germany had, before the ICJ ruling, said the genocide case lacked any basis and declared that it would intervene in the International Court of Justice's proceedings as a third party. Some other countries have welcomed the ICJ's ruling. The ceasefire resolution introduced by the United Nations Security Council and the UN General Assembly in recent months also laid bare these glaring differences and divisions within the European bloc. For example, on 26 October last year, 8 EU countries voted in favour of a ceasefire in Gaza at the UN General Assembly, while 4 European countries voted against it. On 12 December last year, in another vote, 17 European Union countries backed the truce arrangement, while 2 countries voted against it. Some other European Union member states, including France and Spain, were against it for different reasons. On the situation in the Red Sea, European Union member countries have not been on the same page. On 11th of January this year, only 8 countries, 3 of them EU members, Denmark, the Netherlands and Germany, signed a joint statement with the United States and Britain, justifying the airstrikes against Yemen. Qatar's Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story and tells us more. According to a Belgian Member of Parliament, who is among the more than 200 lawmakers who have signed a letter calling for an arms embargo on Israel, Europe risks any credibility to speak on Russia's special operations in Ukraine if it remains silent on Gaza. Simon Mutkin, a Belgian Member of Parliament, told Al Jazeera television in an interview on Saturday 9th of March, "We are so hypocritical in Europe to speak about international law when we speak about Ukraine and Russia, but if we don't have the same views when we speak about the Palestinians, we will not have any credit in the future to speak about it." More than 200 legislators from European countries which fund Israel militarily recently called for their countries to stop selling weapons to Tel Aviv, citing violations of international law as Israel continues its relentless bombardment of Gaza. In a letter signed by parliamentarians from 13 countries, the European lawmakers announced that they would not be complicit and would take immediate coordinated action in their respective legislatures to stop their governments from arming Israel. The Belgian Member of Parliament said that his own country had to act to stop Israel as well, citing a risk of genocide if countries continue to fund Israel militarily. Simon Mutkin, who raised concerns about an internal split in the European Union that has seen the bloc struggle to address Israel's war on Gaza, cohesively said, "As a signatory country of the Convention Against Genocide, Belgium has a legal and moral obligation to act and prevent the risk of genocide. So I think this letter is a good first step, but we need to go further." The United States is by far the biggest funder of Israel militarily, providing roughly $3 billion worth of aid to Israel every year. Presently, U.S. lawmakers are debating an additional $14 billion package to support Tel Aviv operations in Gaza. Washington sent guided missile carriers and F-35 fighter jets, as well as other advanced military equipment, to the regime in Tel Aviv. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,880 kHz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Why is the month of Ramadan superior to other months? May 19th, 2018. Allah the Exalted has made this month superior to others. One of the reasons for this superiority is the act of fasting. Another reason is that He sent down the Holy Quran in this month. Another reason is the night of Qadr. The month of Ramadan enlightens and cleanses hearts and souls through fasting, engaging in zikr, remembrance of Allah, dua, supplications, and divine prayers, through reciting the Holy Quran, and by engaging in many other virtuous activities which religious people benefit from, In fact, from the night of Qadr onwards, religious people who engage in fasting begin a new year. During the night of Qadr, their fate for the entire year is recorded by the divine angels who record our actions. During the night of Qadr, one enters a new year, a new stage, and in fact, a new life and birth. From this night onwards, one begins a path with his or her provisions of piety. On the middle of this path, certain stages have been determined for us in order to refresh our memory and remind us of certain other things.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Without God's help, no person or no people will achieve dignity and happiness. And divine help has certain requirements, as we say in this dua. O God, I ask you to give me the requirements for your mercy. One of the most important requirements for divine mercy is that the Iranian officials and managers in charge of different sectors feel committed before Allah the Exalted and the people. Without a doubt, the stronger and the more dynamic or enthusiastic this feeling is, the more we benefit from divine mercy. We should move forward and we should accompany our movement with divine intentions and with the intention of getting closer to God. We should know that if we apply these methods, God's assistance and blessings will be definite. The month of Ramadan is an opportunity for gaining piety, and the purpose of fasting is that you may learn piety. The Holy Quran, chapter 2, verse 183.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.